Welcome to another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. As a former PRCA cowboy, Wes excelled in the rodeo arena and is now pursuing his calling to share God's word that has literally transformed his life. As someone who has a heart to passionately pursue God in his daily life, his desire is to help others do so as well. The focus of his ministry is to bring people closer to God by living in and through the truths of God's Word. May you be blessed by the message from the Word of God that Wes has to share with you today.
Howdy, friends. Wes Ward here again. Got another mighty word from the Lord I'd like to share with you today. This message, we're going to call it the First Commandment. The First Commandment. The Lord's been dealing with me on this message for quite some time now, and finally come together today, and I just want to share it with you. But before I go into it, I want to share something that's very interesting to me and something that I've just never really understood it. I have a letter here that I had no idea that my mother saved. Now, I remember this letter, and I basically have run from this letter all of my life. The letter is in English class, and it's dated October the 20th, 1971. I was 9 years old, and the topic of the subject is going to be what are you going to be when you grow up? And I wrote that I'm going to be a preacher. When I get out of high school, I'm going to go to college 4 years. I will have to preach the Word of God. I will have to go to the sick and preach, and I will have to go to the funerals and pray. I think a preacher will be good to preach about God. I've always remembered that letter, and I've run from that letter all of my life, wondering why did I write that letter. And I just never thought of myself as being good enough to, or worthy, you might say, to speak God's word, mainly because I didn't know God's word. I've always had a heart for God and accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and had my water baptism whenever I was 11 or 12 years old. I was reading the Gospels in my children's Bible, and I heard a voice inside my spirit that spoke to my heart that I thought was God, that said that once I read the Bible, finished the Bible from one end to the other, I'd die. So I just closed the Bible and I said, Lord, I love you, but I'm not ready to die. I want to live. I'll read this later on in life. And I realize now that was the enemy that deterred me away from God's word at a very, very young age. And I've been through a lot, and a lot of it's just because I didn't know God's word and I wasn't in God's word. But praise God that Jesus put that winnowing fork in me and brought me back to him and everything. But that letter right there, I've just run from it all my life. You see, friends, I didn't choose God. I run from him all my life. See, he chose me. Just like he chose each and every one of you to be adopted into his kingdom through the precious blood of his son, Jesus Christ. We're all predestined to be a part of God's kingdom. Every one of us. So what we're going to look at here today is called the First Commandment. Before we go any further, though, I'd just like to take a few moments here and go to our Lord in prayer. Father God, we worship you and we thank you, Lord. We praise you, for you are the Almighty One, the creator of anything and everything. Lord, we just thank you and we ask today that you'll give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to receive your mighty word today, Father God, so that we may all become vessels of yours and bring glory to you. What a glorious day that would be, that if we all become vessels of yours. We pray this in that mighty name of Jesus, which is our Lord and our Savior's name. Amen. I want to focus today on four scriptures: Deuteronomy 6:5, Matthew 22:37, Mark 12:30, and Luke 10:27. Before we go into that, though, I want to go to Exodus 19. Here we're going to pick up on Moses, the man who was chosen by God to lead God's chosen people, the Israelites, out of bondage of slavery for over 400 years to the Egyptians. And Moses and the mighty hand of God brought them out of there after God had sent down all the plagues upon the Egyptians. And then Pharaoh decided to let them go. And they come to the Red Sea, and all of a sudden Moses raised his staff, and God's mighty hand parted the Red Sea. And the Israelites, they crossed the Red Sea and on dry ground, and the Egyptians went in there trying to get them, and the waters came up over them and everything. And God delivered his people to the mountain of God called Mount Sinai. And this is where God's going to give his people the commandments. But as we read right here in Exodus 19, verse 20, it says, "The Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, and on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up." Boy, I could preach right there all day. You see, Moses went up the mountain, but the Lord came down. See, that's what we got to really focus on in ourselves, is are we really seeking God? See, if we'll seek him, he's going to be seeking us. One thing about it, God never does push himself upon us. He gives us that free will, that free choice in life to make. You can either follow me or not. But if you'll meet him, if you'll make an effort, I guarantee you he'll come to you. So Moses went up the mountain, and the Lord came down. And God is speaking here these commandments. Let me read right here in Exodus 20, starting in verse 18. It said, "Now all the people witnessed the thundering and the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when people saw it, they were trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, 'You speak with us, we will hear you, but let not God speak with us, lest we die.' And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be upon you, so that you may not sin.'" So the verse 21 said, "So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was." Right here in Exodus 20, verse 1, it says, "And God spoke all these words, saying, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image. Any likeness of anything is in heaven above, and that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to the thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments.'" Verse 7 says, "You shall not take the Lord name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Boy, I tell you what, friends, I've been guilty of that commandment right there many times, taking the Lord's name in vain. But praise God, once the Holy Spirit moved in and started dealing with me, that profanity left me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So the Israelites here, they hearing the thunder and the lightning and the flashing and smoke and the mountains smoking and all that. And they hearing God's voice, but they can't take it. It's killing them. So they are saying, "Moses, you go up and you get the commandments on the tablets written by God's hand alone, the Ten Commandments." Moses was up on top of that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Well, the Israelites down below the mountain, they thought, "Well, Moses, he ain't coming back." So they go to Moses' brother named Aaron and said, Give us a God that we can worship. So over there in Exodus 32, they built him a golden calf. And as Moses is coming down the mountain, he already realized that the Israelites had broken the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. So friends, we got to ask ourselves, you know, do we have gods before God? We can all say, yeah, we love the Lord, but we got to really dig deep down inside ourselves and say, do we really have no other gods before him? You know, after my life fell just totally apart, as I knew it, a couple years ago, and I was deceived by, as a young boy, from the enemy Satan, who deterred me away from God's word. And I made a covenant with God. I said, you know what, God, I'm going to read this manual, which I call the manual, the Holy Bible, the Manual to Life. It stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. I'm going to read this Bible from one end to the other, from Genesis to Revelation. You know, a lot of cowboys in the rodeo world and the bull riding world, they become famous in the City of Lights in Las Vegas. Well, I thought it was pretty ironic that this cowboy finished his walk for the first time from Genesis to Revelation while I was in Las Vegas attending the NFR this past year. But anyway, before I actually started reading the Bible, I was in a treatment, going to some treatment classes for a drug addiction. At the end of 2008 and the start of 2009, my counselor gave me a Rick Warren's Purpose Driven Life, and that book really spoke to me at the time, because I know I love God and everything, but it's like, you know, I was going through so much and had lost so much, and it's like, what's my purpose? Do I even have a purpose anymore? And as I was reading that book, there was a scripture, Mark 12, verse 30. It just got a hold of me. Let's take a look at Mark 12, verse 30 right quick. And this is whenever I heard God speak to my heart. But actually, you know, we say God spoke to our heart, but God's actually speaking to our spirit. But Mark 12, verse 30 says, And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And as I read that, see, I went through I've had two failed marriages. You know, I've married two different Kellys and loved both of them and was heartbroken both times. And tried very hard to basically give them anything and everything they wanted. But I was miserable doing what I wanted to do. And whenever I read Mark 12, verse 30, the Lord spoke to my spirit, to my heart, and he said, you see the love that you've been seeking from your wives, I seek from you and others. And that was just the spirit that I was getting from my ex-wives, that they just didn't love me no more, and I was being rejected. And I just needed to feel loved. And when the Lord told me that he was seeking the same love that I was seeking from my wives, he was seeking from me and others. And I said, now, wait a minute, God, wait a minute. If you feel the same pain that I feel, and you've got billions of people, that is a very, very heavy load. And that was a turning point. All of a sudden, I felt guilty. Condemnation come upon me. And I realized that I told God after that, I said, Lord, I love you. Do you really love me? Do you really love me? That was a question I really started having to deal with. Am I really giving him all of me? And then as I got to looking and everything, I realized, no. I've always had a heart for God. But it's like God was in the back seat. I was doing what I wanted to do. See, I wasn't living for God. I just wasn't giving him all of me. So I really want to focus on these scriptures again as we pick them up here in Deuteronomy 6:5. As I was reading the manual, the Holy Bible, these scriptures just started jumping out at me. And Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Now that's a very powerful scripture. And then Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." Verse 38 says, "This is the first and greatest commandment." Well, let's look at Luke 10:27. So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Now, if you're loving your neighbor as yourself, friends, that'll keep you in good standings with all your friends, your neighbors. And that's the reason it says, love your neighbor as yourself. But we really got to focus on this. Do we love thy Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all your mind? You know, we can sit here and say, yeah, we do, but do we really? Because we're going to really dig into this. But let's go to Luke 18 right quick, and I want to share this story. This is a young man called the rich young ruler here in Luke 18. We're going to start reading here in verse 18. It says, "Now there was a certain ruler asked Jesus, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but the one that is God.'" Verse 20 says, Jesus says, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." Verse 21, "And he said, 'All these things I have kept from my youth.'" Verse 22, "So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.'" Verse 23 says, "But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich." You see, I mean, this young man here, he was a good guy. I mean, he kept all the commandments. I mean, he was a good guy. But his heart was set on his money. In a sense, money was his God. See, right here, Jesus offers him an opportunity to become one of his disciples. But he couldn't do it because he didn't want to give up everything that he had. His God was his possessions and his money. And we really got to start really looking hard at ourselves on this and everything. But I realized after God got dealing with me when I read Mark 12, verse 30. The Lord spoke to me and said, "You see the love you've been seeking from your wives, I seek from you and others." And I realized that God wasn't my first love. You know, friends, I was kind of set up in this deal. I mean, I was born and raised in a rodeo family. My dad, this year will be his 64th year of producing rodeos. The oldest living stock contractor in the state of Oklahoma. And I remember whenever I was a little boy, we used to go to the National Finals Rodeo in Oklahoma City, and I'd be sitting up there just dreaming of being there someday. And you know, I was a good bareback rider and everything, and tried really hard and got close to the NFR several times. But I never could actually get there, and I was miserable, because I didn't fulfill that dream. And spent a lot of money trying to get there. And then after my rodeo career was over, my bareback riding career, I started producing rodeos. And really, I mean, done a great job of producing rodeos. But, you know, I was miserable once again doing what I wanted to do. Have you ever been miserable, unhappy, doing what you want to do? You see, anytime you have anything above God, it's a false god. It could be a spouse. It could be a job. It could be something that you like doing. It could even be your children. See, I'm a pro rodeo announcer now, and you know they have mutton busting at a lot of rodeos, and it really, really bothers me to see those parents stick those kids on those sheep, and they're just bawling and squalling and all. The only reason they're wanting to do it is so they put their child up on some kind of a stage and, you know, hear their name called or whatever. And, you know, that just really bothers me, because that could injure a child for a long, long time, making them do something that they don't want to do. So a lot of times we as parents, we try to live through our children instead of just letting our children be kids, you know. We spend a lot of time, you know, having them involved in this and this and that, and we spoil them a lot of times. And also, I wanted to elaborate on addictions. Addictions. There's all kinds of addictions in this world. A lot of times, whenever people are suffering from drug addiction and alcohol addiction, it's because they're trying to hide from something, or they've got a problem with inside them, and that's the only way that they can deal with it. You know, I was addicted to a very powerful drug, methamphetamines, at one time, and it's just because I had a wounded heart, a wounded spirit, and I felt my life just falling apart, and I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't want to deal with it, but it all boils down to I didn't have enough of God's word in me. So Jesus said trials and tribulations are going to come. What do you have more in you, more of the world or more of God's word? That's the difference right there. You know, some people are addicted to power and control. You know, they like having power and control over someone or someone else or whatever, because it lifts them up. It gives them that good feeling on the inside. Or maybe some people, when they're having a bad day, you know, they have a problem with overeating. You know, because they're down and depressed, they'll overeat. A lot of people they turn to sports to lift them up. To, you know, if they're feeling depressed or whatever, they'll turn on, watch a good football game or basketball or whatever. Some people are addicted to tobacco. You know, I know that's one of my issues that I'm dealing with is trying to quit my tobacco habit, and the Holy Spirit's really been working with me on it. But a lot of times when you're having a bad time, you know, or a bad day, people will turn to another person to lift you up. I know that a lot of women, they like to go shopping. When, say, if you're having a bad day and you like to go shopping, there ain't nothing wrong with that. But every time you're having a bad day and you start turning to shopping to lift you up, you can become addicted to it. So it took me a long time to figure this out. I just turned to God. You know, if I was hurting on the inside or not having a good day, I'd say, God, just lift me up. Just lift me up. And it works. See, love thy Lord thy God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Because there's many, many, many false gods out here in this world. Many of them. You know, God is love. True happiness, true beauty comes from within. We gotta have the love of God in us first. It makes us complete. Because I'm telling you, back whenever I was in my drug addiction, I couldn't get enough drugs in me at times. The deeper I went in this hole, the more drugs I had to have. And I could never get full. But since the Lord's moved into my house, and I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, I mean, it's just, it's like being on a, well, it's just, it's an awesome feeling that I really can't put in words. Even though my surroundings may not be the best or whatever, but I'd like to tell everybody I have nothing I once had, but everything I didn't have. Does that make any sense? Love thy Lord thy God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. See, it's a commandment, but in a sense, it's instructions as well. God will never push himself upon us. Never. But whenever we can't do it no more, he's right there waiting on us so that he can move in and do his work through us and in us and everything. See, God don't want to be at the front. He don't want to be at the back. He wants to be the nucleus of your life, that personal relationship. You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, what religion are you? I ain't no religion. I'm a relationship man. You know, I talk to God. God's my friend. The Holy Spirit guides and directs my steps and everything. And I mean, it took me a while to realize, but after my way didn't work no more, I finally just surrendered. I said, God, I can't do this no more. I need your help. God spoke to my spirit and said, good. We get that pride and your ego out of the way, and that way I can move in and do my work through you and in you. Friends, I want to share a little story with you one time that I was watching TBN or Daystar. I don't know, one of those channels, Christian channels, and they had a lady on there, and she was like from South Africa or somewhere, a real attractive lady, and I kind of caught the tail end of it. I caught what I needed to hear, though, and she had an accent, and I was just like drawn to her. And she was talking about having this premonition or vision with God, and she saw two mosaics, which are glass pictures. One mosaic had broken pieces in it, and on those pieces that were broken, there was blood stain. Then there was a mosaic over here that was just beautiful, as just pretty as a picture. I mean, perfect. And she got to looking at these two different mosaics, and this woman had been in a car accident, and her son had deceased, but God had brought him back to life and everything. And she was saying that this mosaic that had the broken pieces on it and had the blood stains was a pieces that were broken in her life that she had tried to pick up and put back together herself. But the mosaic that was just perfect and beautiful was the one that God put together for her. And that really spoke to me right there. And I realized that I've been trying to do this all along by myself. And I just can't do it no more. So, you know, I said, you know what, God? I'm yours. You take me. You use me. You mold me into who you want me to be. Because my way don't work no more. One time I was watching Pastor John Hagee, and he told this story. And this story really spoke to my spirit as well. There was this little boy that had his nose pressed to the pet shop window. He was looking at this little brown and white puppy. He goes in there and he comes up to the counter, and he laid 75 cents on the counter. He said, sir, here's 75 cents. I want that little brown and white puppy in the front window. The manager of the pet stop shore said, "Son, that little dog, that little puppy cost $75. Well, the little boy, he turned around and his chin hit his chest and he was just brokenhearted and he went to walk out and then he heard this commotion coming from the back of the pet shop. And he looked up and he saw a female dog coming running toward the front and there was three little puppies right behind the mama dog and a fourth puppy was several lengths behind dragging his hind legs. And that boy turned around, he run back up her and he said, "Sir, here's 75 cents. I'll pay you 75 cents every week, but that little puppy in the back's the one I want." He said, "Son, you don't want that puppy. That puppy right there was born with a deformed hip socket. He'll never walk. He'll never walk. He'll always drag his legs." That little boy said, "No, that's a puppy I want. Here's that 75 cents, and I'll give you 75 cents every week till I get him paid off. I want that puppy." He said, "Son, you're not hearing me. That puppy will never walk again." That little boy said, "I understand that puppy." And then when he did, he said that he pulled up his jeans that exposed the metal rods on his legs due to polio. He said, "No, you see, I understand that puppy. I understand him. That's the puppy I want." Well, see, that's what God's telling us. He says, "Hey, if the world don't want you, I'll take you. I'll take this one. I'll take that one. I'll take that one. And I will reveal myself within them. Because you see, I made them. I understand them. I understand them." That's the way God, you know, friends, I've been that little boy looking in that window before, wondering what is my purpose in life? Why am I here? Are you that little boy or that little girl looking in that window today? You looking for a new life? God takes trade-ins. He'll take you just the way you are. Do we really love thy Lord, thy God, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all our strength? Friends, you know, we can spend a lifetime down here working hard, real hard, and being miserable. You know, I mean, I remember I used to just have bills out. I just couldn't, you know, it just made me miserable thinking about the money I owed, credit cards, this and that, just trying to have something. Friends, whenever you leave this earth, you ain't taking none of it with you. A friend of mine told me one time, he said, "There ain't no luggage racks on a hearse. It's just stuff." But we put too much focus on stuff and not enough on God. Not enough on God. Not enough on God. Friends, I wanted to share something with you that one of my friends on Facebook the other day pointed this out. September 11th, disaster. Terrorist attack in New York City. January 11th, earthquake, Haiti, terrible disaster. March 11th, tsunami, Japan, thousands of people missing. September 11th, January 11th, March 11th. Listen to what Luke 21, verse 11 says. "And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven." That ain't just a coincidence. Let me spell coincidence for you. G-O-D, the Almighty One. We're having the birth pains right now. Jesus is coming back. Read the first book of Acts. Same way he left. But you got to ask yourself, do you love thy Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength? Friends, if you don't, learn to. Learn to love thy Lord thy God. He's got to be our first love, friends. He's got to be our first love. He's got to be the nucleus inside us. Friends, I hope you got something out of God's word today. God bless you. Thank you.
This has been another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. Our prayer for you is that you've been helped through the Word of God that we were able to share with you today. The heart of Wild West Ministries is to bring people closer to God through His living Word. If you would like to contact Wes to find out more about his ministry, to receive more of his teachings, or if you're interested in having him as a guest speaker, you can contact him by phone at 903-249-1250. That's 903-249-1250. Or at 580-927-3007. That's 580-927-3007. Or you can email Wes at 3wward@gmail.com. That's 3wward@gmail.com. God bless you.